I would ask you to remain standing for the gospel lesson this night, which comes from the gospel according to Matthew. And Jesus is speaking. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues or in the streets, so that they may be praised by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you give alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and at the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites, for they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. Truly, I tell you, they also have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that your fasting may be seen not by others, but by your Father who is in heaven. And your Father who sees in secret will save you. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust consume and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust consumes and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be as well. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. I would invite you to join your hearts with mine for a moment of prayer. Holy God, we thank you for this evening that you have called us together to worship you, and especially to hear your holy word and for your word to be proclaimed. And I ask, O Lord, that you would be in the thoughts of our minds, in the meditation of our hearts, but especially, O God, that you would be in the words of my mouth, that they would be acceptable to you and continue to bring praise and glory to your holy name. You, O Lord, who are our rock and our redeemer, our Savior and our friend. Amen. As the story goes, there was once a pastor who carried the burden of a secret sin he had committed many years before. He had repented, but he still had no sense of God's forgiveness. Now, in his church, there was a woman who claimed to have visions in which she spoke with Christ, and he spoke with her. The pastor, however, was very skeptical. And to test her, he said, "The next time you speak with Christ, I want you to ask him what sin your pastor committed while he was in seminary." Now, the woman agreed to do this. A few days later, the pastor asked, "Well, did Christ visit you in your dreams?" And she replied, "Yes, he did." "And did you ask him what sin I had committed in seminary?" "Yes." "And what did he tell you?" "He said, I don't remember." I don't remember. Now, there's a little bit of irony in that, but the truth is that once we ask God to forgive our sins, really, God does not remember them. When we bring our best fears, our best selves, when we bring everything that we need to lay before Christ, he honors that. But when we bring to him what it is that we need to repent of, when we confess our sins, he hears our confession, and then he lets it go. He truly does not remember our sins anymore. To me, that's mercy. To me, that's the mercy of God. In the Old Testament, mercy is hesed, loving kindness. But I believe the mercy of God is God's faithfulness to us, God's patience with us, God's long-suffering with us, God's ability to forgive us over and over and over again when we repent of our sins. That's mercy. That we can come to God with everything that is a burden to us, everything that we have done, all those things we have not done that we should have done. When we can bring those to God and truly confess, he remembers them no more. That's mercy. That's a merciful God that does that. Hesed, loving kindness. God's mercy protects and blesses and embraces us even when we try to do our best to live without it. Mercy is that love that never ever lets us go. Mercy is a God that loves us so much he remembers our sins no longer, And it's that same God, it's that same mercy that loves us so much that he would give his only son for us, that he would give his only son for us while we were yet sinners. Unfortunately, too often, like the pastor in that story, we hold on to our sins. We don't give them up. We may try to give them up. We may pretend to give them up. We may do everything that we think is giving them up, but how often then do we take them back? How often do we let those sins continue to be a burden in our lives? When in fact, God would ask us to repent and let them go, for truly, he remembers them no more. There's a saying that I think is very true. Confession is good for the soul. We don't need to confess our sins. We don't need to confess our shortcomings so that God knows about them. God already knows them. God knows us by heart. We need to confess so that we acknowledge our shortcomings, so we know that God knows who we are, so that we have the truth in ourselves that we are not perfect, that there is much that separates us from God. Confession is our acknowledging that we've fallen short of the glory of God. So confession is good for our souls if we remember that in our confession and in that act of repentance, in that gift of forgiveness, we need to let it go. We need to acknowledge that we've sinned. We need to acknowledge that there have been times where we have not done what we've been asked to do. We need to acknowledge to ourselves that we cannot pretend that we are always righteous, that we are always good. We need to acknowledge that before God, that we are truly human. And to do that, we need to let God into that part of our lives we'd rather hide from the rest of the world. We have to let God truly into our hearts, not just into our heads, not just into our intellects. We have to let God dwell in our hearts. It's hearts that need to know that they're loved. It's hearts that need to be changed. It's hearts that have to be vulnerable. And it's hearts even that sometimes need to be broken to let the truth of God's mercy seep in. We all have a public persona. We all have this image that we want the world and others to see about us. For some of it, it's a thick protection for our hearts. And over the years, sometimes it becomes our sole identity. And we never let anyone see behind the curtain. And we even think that God can't see our faults and our failures. We put on such a mask that we even sometimes pretend that God doesn't know our true selves. But God does know our hearts, and God longs to have us let him in. And how else can we, God, create in us clean hearts? How else can mercy flood our souls if we don't let God in? If we don't invite God to break into our lives, break beyond that veneer? God doesn't break in himself. He waits for that opportunity. He waits for that invitation. He waits for a crack to appear so that he can make his way in. He waits for us to let go of that mask. He waits for that moment of vulnerability when we realize how much we truly need God, not in our heads, but in our hearts. As Jesus says in the Gospel of John, God longs to abide in us, and God wants to abide in our hearts, but we have to let him in. We have to let God in. We have to let down the walls and the defenses and truly let God in. This week I've been meditating on a quote, not from the Bible, but actually from Ernest Hemingway. We are all broken. We are all broken, and that's how the light gets in. We are all broken, so that's how the light gets in. How true is that? When we allow our brokenness, when we bring our brokenness before God, that's when the light of Christ shines the best in us. That's how God gets into our hearts. Confession is an acknowledgement of our brokenness, and it's an opportunity to truly let God in, to let God's light in. And it's never too late to do that. It's never too late in our lives. It's never too late in the situation, in our families, in our world, to be that vulnerable, to let the cracks show, so that God's light can shine in. The prophet Joel, that we started our service with this evening, reminds us that it truly is never too late, that God's mercy is always available. And these are the words from the Message. But there's also this, it's not too late. God's personal message, come back to me and really mean it. Come fasting and weeping, sorry for your sins. Change your life, not just your clothes. Come back to God, your God. And here's why. God is kind and merciful. God takes a deep breath, puts up with a lot. This most patient God, extravagant in love, always ready to cancel catastrophe. Who knows? Maybe he'll do it now. Maybe he'll turn around and show pity. Maybe when all's said and done, there'll be blessings full and robust from your God. It's never too late to let the light of Christ shine into your hearts. And confession is the first step to that. It's never too late, for God truly has abundant love and abundant mercy for each and every one of us. The reading that Marty had this evening from Paul's letter to the Corinthians is a reminder that we have all received that mercy. We have all received that mercy. God truly has forgiven our sins, and God longs for us to live as those who have received that loving kindness. So we are called to be ambassadors for Christ. We are called to share that good news. We are called, regardless of our circumstances, to be people of mercy, people of steadfast loving kindness, people who forgive, people who love, people who encourage others to do the same. Once we know in our hearts God's mercy, we can't help but live lives of mercy ourselves. We want others to know that same loving kindness. We want others to know God's mercy. But truly, we have to know it ourselves, not in our heads. We have to know it in our hearts. Tonight here, we begin our Lenten journey by being willing to be honest with ourselves about who we are and about our relationship with God. We might not be able to come to this heart self-knowledge instantly or just in one night. It might take 40 days. It might take a lifetime. But in the process, God will be there. In the process, God's mercy will always be available, and God will encourage you to let go of the past and seek that new life, that changed heart, today. Jan Richardson, in a poem, A Blessing for Ash Wednesday, says this about rending your hearts. To receive this blessing, all you have to do is let your heart break. Let it crack open, let it fall apart, so that you can see its inner secret chambers, the hidden spaces where you have hesitated to go. Your entire life is here, inscribed whole upon your heart's walls. Every path taken or left behind, every face you turned toward or turned away, every word spoken in love or in rage, every line of your life you would prefer to leave in shadow, every story that shimmers with treasures known and those you have yet to find. It could take you days to wander these rooms, 40 at least, and so let this be a season of wandering, for trusting the breaking, for tracing the tear that will return you to the one who waits, who watches, who works within, the rending to make your heart whole. Create in each of us a clean heart, O Lord, and put a new and right spirit within us. Amen.